Good morning, everyone. We seem to have stumbled onto the air again. You see, Tony Benn's joined us, and he said how much preparation is there, and I think he's finding out that it's a learning curve as we go here. I said, not a lot. Good morning, Tony Benn.
Hello.
And I'm so pleased to see the little tape recorder is in situ, because...
I can't get it to work yet, but I suppose it will.
And it's
probably
it's
on a pause or something.
We'll
right.
Send you a heavily edited tape where an Oxford educated accent interviews you. We'll send you that version of it. It's good to see the tape, because if the cliches that surround you outside of your career, of course the tea drinking, etc, etc, but the tape, I'm glad to see, is a reality.
Well, I started in 74 because I wasn't being correctly represented, and I found after a while that even if you didn't have a battery in or a tape, the sight of a tape recorder on a platform, and journalists were a bit more careful.
It finds the life out of you. I remember the only time I've ever seen anyone else do it, slightly more sinister and perhaps with more reason, was I used to do this completely boss-eyed nitwit show in the 60s. The decades get mixed up. It was the 6 o'clock show in London with Michael Haspel. A red-nosed, trouser-dropping picture post, I think you could perhaps best call it. And we did a couple of interviews at Private Eye. And they used to, and the fellas there, they used to put the tapes down and then kind of look at me askance and say, what is this really about? No, we really have come to talk to you about the size of policemen's boots. And you're not going to drop anything. And they would tape it. And it's so intimidating, thinking, oh, really?
Well, it's the one way you can get back at people. But I have kept them all. I've got about 500 or 600 million words now. And it is amazing, the number of people writes, I heard you in Birmingham in 1979.
Yeah.
And you copy the tape and send it off.
Well, on the audio versions of your diaries, which I've many, many times trundled along to, you, of course, played a surreptitious recording. Is it Jim Callaghan singing at a miner's benefit or
Yes, I'm the man, the very fat man who watered the workers' beer. Now, funny enough, last Wednesday I went to number 10 Downing Street for Jim Callaghan's 90th birthday.
Yeah.
And it was a marvellous, all his old mates were there. There was Dennis Healy and all sorts of people.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really nice. But he did sing I'm the Man, the Very Fat Man. And I sang a song. My old man.
Come on! You can't leave us on the edge of our seats. Which one?
No, it's not. My old man's about. My old man said,
"Follow the van
and don't dilly dally on the way." That's right.
Yeah.
And that was at the Durham Mine. I'm going to Durham tomorrow because, you know, they put my face on a miner's banner. Now that is
really
a honour being a peer.
Wow. Depending on your point of view, that's a step up or down from a stained glass window, isn't it? I mean, just about. Well, I think so. And you record, you bootlegged this performance over the weekend, did you? The latest rendition, did you take that too?
Which was that?
When he's singing again at his 90th birthday. Did you take that?
Oh, he didn't sing at the night. I did video that. I videoed his birthday party, and I sent him a video, and I sent a copy to Tony and Cherie.
Yeah.
Because it was such a lovely... I mean, Jim made such a sensitive speech. He said, when all the power goes and you're forgotten, it's the family that matters. He made a lovely speech. I'm very...